Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Collegiately speaking.
And we're underway.
Gives the Moten. Plows ahead. Touchdown. John Moten. Here's a deep throw for Jefferson. Over the shoulder catch. Touchdown. What a catch. He fumbles the football. And it's picked up by the Wildcats. With a convoy. Right side of the 40.
Intercepted by the Wildcats. The Wildcats win. The Wildcats. Unbelievable.
It's Collegiately Speaking. Join Dave Enn and former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa as they break down all the ins and outs of Northwestern football.
Touchdown! It's all over. The Wildcats with a comeback to remember.
Here's Dave and Dan.
Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking from WGNRadio.com. Dave Enn, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We're with you every week when the Wildcats are playing to look ahead to the next game, recap the previous game. We took a week off last week, as did the Wildcats, after their loss to Nebraska. Probably not bad timing, Dan, to have a bye week. I don't know how you felt about them. I know there are two schools of thought. On one hand, sometimes you lose a tough game and you want to get right back at it because you want to try to erase that sour taste. But as beat up as this team has been, and after a loss, the way they lost that game to the Cornhuskers, I would think the timing this time was probably pretty good.
Yeah, I would think so as well. It was, like you said, a tough game and tough game to watch at the end of the day with some calls at the end of the game. But I think anytime you can have a bye week and extra rest always helps, especially going into a team like Ohio State, which would be a heck of a challenge this weekend or this Friday.
Well, let's get this out there right now. I don't want to speak for you, but I don't know. I certainly didn't think this team would be 1-4 through five games of the season and still winless in the Big Ten.
I don't think so either. There's obviously some key question marks at key positions, mm-hmm. And I think everybody was a little bit nervous about that, especially at quarterback. But you looked at the schedule, and they're like, well, you know, you could win all these games. You can certainly lose all these games. Starting, I think it was four of the first five teams were ranked. So I think a lot of people were looking at the schedule a little nervous. They've, for the most part, been close games and games that Northwestern has typically pulled out, and just they haven't been able to close those wins.
And I guess here's the cup half full, half empty question. You look at the Nebraska game. Did they have a chance to win that game? Yes. Did they give themselves a chance to win? Yeah. I mean, it looked like they had a drive going that potentially would have resulted in a winning score, and they could have walked out of once again out of Memorial Stadium in Lincoln with a win. So to get from where they had been, which was they tried to claw their way back against Wisconsin, kind of, sort of in the fourth quarter, were able to put some things together. But after the previous game against Michigan State, where they really didn't have much of a shot once you got deep into the second half, this was at least a game where, granted, it wasn't against a team of Wisconsin's caliber. I think that's pretty clear. But they did put themselves in a position where at least they had a chance. It wasn't like they got blown out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
No, but I think to your other point, Nebraska, especially without Adrian Martinez, isn't a great team by any stretch of the imagination. And I think that those are the wins that you need to get, mm-hmm. Especially in the Big Ten West, when they're there for the taking. And I think it was just, again, similar to the past few games, slow to watch. The defense looked pretty sound outside of a couple plays, but the offense, again, it's like watching paint dry. They just can't get any explosive plays. It doesn't seem like they're ever really in a rhythm. They get a couple things going, maybe a drive here, a drive there, but I still think that the coaches have to do a better job of making it easier on the players, and the players are taking responsibility like I'm sure they want to. And but at the end of the day, I think the coaches have to do a better job of putting them in positions to make plays and getting more people involved. I just don't think they're doing a good job of that right now.
Now, you look at the offense. Aiden Smith got the start at quarterback for the first time in this last game against Nebraska. And he was able to engineer a drive to get him into the end zone and had a drive going late in the game before he got intercepted. And there was apparently a missed call of pass interference. It certainly looked that way, on that. But regardless, I mean, sometimes you get those calls, sometimes you don't. Overall, though, seemed like he felt a little more comfortable, looked a little more comfortable out there.
I think so, and I think that's the big thing at this point. It's like when Hunter was struggling so much and the offense was struggling, you just need a guy that go in there and just be decisive. And I think Hunter had moments where he really flashed a lot of talent, but there was the majority of the time he looked very indecisive and very uncomfortable. You know, I think Aiden, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, was very decisive, made plays with his feet, which a lot of people probably didn't think he could do. And I think more than anything, it was just his ability to make quick decisions and get the ball out of his hands, or make a pull read on his own read and put his foot in the ground and get some yards. So I think, you know, overall he did a better job, but it's still, you know, it's still a bottom of the Big Ten quarterback play, which you can't have if you want to win games.
Especially when you have a defense like Northwestern's, which has been really pretty good. I mean, I think, and we talked about it at the beginning, how good would this defense be? And I thought, if you looked at them, given the people they had coming back from last year, and granted they lost a couple of guys, Jordan Thompson gone from last year, Nate Hall, these were key guys, Montre Hardage, but they had players ready to replace those guys and guys who would played a lot of football or potentially were ready to go. I think Greg Newsom stepped in and been played very admirably at corner, and Cameron Ruiz the last couple of weeks has had to step in there after Trey Williams got hurt. Chris Bergen's done a good job at the Sam linebacker spot. So you look at this defense and you think, okay, this is a top-level Big Ten defense. I'm not saying they're Michigan State, Wisconsin, but I think they're in that conversation, the top half of the Big Ten defensively.
I think more than that. I would put them right up there with Michigan State and Wisconsin, just because, you know, they're on the field for so long, and outside of a couple of missed tackles against Stanford and a couple of big plays here or there against Nebraska and Michigan State, they're doing a great job. I think Cam Ruiz was a guy that I was frankly shocked that he wasn't even on the two deep to start the year. I remember watching him against Notre Dame last year, and he just looked like a very explosive, talented guy that had a ton of confidence. And he's obviously played his way into, you know, through injuries and a few other things, into a starting role. You looked at this defense top to bottom, there's a ton of talent, and they're obviously extremely well coached by Coach Hank, and from a scheme standpoint. So yeah, you know, it's hard to swallow these losses when you're giving up, but it's like, you know, 10 points against Stanford, you know, what was it, maybe 14 against Wisconsin before all the defensive or the offense.
There were two.
Yeah,
they gave up basically one defensive touchdown in that game. That was on the opening drive,
right?
And the rest of it, those were touchdowns scored by right. Wisconsin's
so
defense.
It was 10 points versus Wisconsin. Michigan State was a little bit of an outlier, but still they held them in check for the most part. And then last week, to give up, you know, 13 points or whatever it was, you know, that's, you should win those games. If you can't score 14 points in a game, you don't deserve the win. And Northwestern hasn't been able to do that, which is, again, we talked about this before. It's just hard for defense. I know they're going to continue to say they focus on themselves, but to play so well, I think they're ranked 8th in the country right now in the S&P rankings, and not be able to get wins. You know, I think you liken it to a little bit of a great offense that just can't get any help. You know, you're scoring 28 or 35 and losing, and it's just like, can we just hold them to 20 or 25? And, you know, I would have killed for one of these defenses.
Right. Well, and when I say I wouldn't put them up there necessarily at the top, I meant they don't rank statistically right now with Wisconsin, for instance, but they certainly rank better than most of the Big Ten.
Right.
And it's not all about statistics, as we get reminded frequently, but there is one number that I think has hurt them, and that's turnover margin. And it's not just the turnovers by the offense, but it's the lack of interceptions by the defense. They only have 2 interceptions through the first 5 games, and they have been outscored. And this also, I guess, speaks to the problems of the offense. They've been outscored in points off turnovers. I believe it's 45-6. Last year, that was a real area of strength for them. They were very opportunistic. Granted, they had a fourth-year starter, a quarterback, But still, they were able to cash in. The defense was turning the ball over, giving it to the offense, short fields. The offense was able to capitalize on that. That hasn't happened this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think you look at college football across the board, very few teams can go 80, 90 yards and put together a sustained drive. You're going to look for short fields or big plays, and Northwestern really hasn't had a ton of those. So they've really struggled.
And one other area, Dan, it's special teams, where I think – against Wisconsin, I think special teams were a big part of the conversation. They had the long punt return by Riley Lees called back because of a penalty. I thought against Nebraska, Daniel Kubiak, and certainly they were leaning on their punter pretty heavily. I thought he had a nice day kicking the ball, kind of a bounce back game for him. And I think overall the play of the special teams has been up a notch this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you're winning for the most part two of the three phases, and they've done that fairly consistently to win tight games over the years, and the offense just isn't closing the gap right now. And it's frustrating when you're so dominant for the most part on defense and solid in the kicking game, minus a couple shanks and a couple missed field goals. The offense just has to do a little bit more, and they're not asking a ton. Score 14 points, and that would have won them every single game so far for the most part. So I think the offense just has to come along. It's been the same story, and hopefully they can get it going. And I think Fitz talked a little bit about it in his press conference yesterday when someone asked him about the struggles at key positions. He's like, yeah, it's no secret. I don't really know what you want me to say, but we're struggling at quarterback.
Well, if you watch the team, you can see where they're struggling.
Right. It's not rocket science. And I think, hopefully the coaches are doing whatever they can to help these guys out. I just think they need to do a better job. Fitz takes the blame and says, we got to coach them up better, but hopefully they can execute a little bit better and give them a better plan versus Ohio State, because they're going to need it.
Well, okay. Let me throw some numbers at you here. Third down conversions first. First downs first. Let's see. Where else do we want to go? Rushing offense third. Scoring offense fourth. These are all national rankings, by the way, not Big Ten rankings. Defensively, how about passing yards allowed third. Red zone defense third. A rushing defense eighth. Scoring defense fourth. Sacks one. I mean, I guess yes. I can stop right there. Right. Number three or number four team in the country, depending how you look at it. Look, these teams played a year ago, and Northwestern got down, cut it to 3 points in the second half in that Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. Got a big play from special teams, got a big play from their defense. I remember Travis Willock had a fumble return in that game. This is a different deal this year with this Ohio State team. It's a different guy behind center who's come in and hasn't skipped a beat. Justin Fields has been he finally threw an interception against Michigan State in their last game.
Right. Yeah, from top to bottom, they've been pretty unbelievable this year. I think you look at last year, and they had a very explosive offense. They had a great quarterback. The thing that they didn't have was a mobile quarterback, which gives every team trouble. But their defense was, much maligned all year. They gave up a lot of points, and that was kind of the glimmer of hope that Northwestern had going in. If you could just slow down this offense and this quarterback, and you score, three or four touchdowns, you're gonna be right there. This year, it's unfortunately a little bit different story. There isn't a ton of weak spots on the team, and I think they've shored up the defense with some new coaches, and they're a scary team. Maybe you put Alabama and LSU ahead of these guys, but I don't know anybody.
Not by much.
And you look at, is Oklahoma better than them? I don't think so. Watching their defense play, so this is a top 2-3 team, if not number one team in the country. So Wisconsin was definitely a top 10, top 5 team. They had a great defense. Their offense, you kind of knew it was one eventual with Jack Cohn not being able to throw the ball. I just don't see a ton of weaknesses here. This is a very formidable opponent for Northwestern.
Now, here's what you wonder about the timing of this game. They both had byes last week. The Buckeyes, we mentioned, coming off the win, the night game against Michigan State, very impressive, 34-10, although even Wisconsin even got Michigan State worse last weekend, but whatever the case. Ohio State has Wisconsin at home next week. So sometimes they would look at this game, I almost think if it wasn't a Friday night game the way it is, not that it's a night game. They play a ton of night games.
Right.
They're used to that. But if it's the only game, it's Friday night, you kind of wonder if somehow that keeps them more focused than, or they might be thinking about that Wisconsin game a week later.
Who knows? Northwestern's going to need something. I think, you know, this is, they're just so solid, and I think Northwestern has really struggled. I think they'll slow them down on defense, but, you know, what is slowing down the Ohio State offense mean? 21, 28? You know, they can put up a lot of points, and Ryan Day has done a great job of improving upon last year. And Justin Fields, like you said, I think the one question mark about him coming into the season when you talk to national writers was just his decision-making. Like, you know, he's super talented, but is he going to continue to throw the ball to the other team? And I think that's why he struggled a little bit. Not struggled. Jake Fromm's obviously a great quarterback to overcome, but he didn't play more because they were just worried about him turning the ball over. And I think he comes in now and throws one interception, and he's protected the ball extremely well. So again, I don't see a ton of holes. Things could change as the season goes along and they play more in the Big Ten, but you know, they're not giving me much to have a ton of hope.
You know, nobody talks about J.K. Dobbins. Everybody talks in this conference about Jonathan Taylor, rightly so. He may very well be the best running back in the country and win the Heisman Trophy. But you look at what Dobbins has done his first two-plus years at Ohio State, and he's doing it again this year and not getting the acclaim. I mean, again, everything's relative.
Right.
You're playing for Ohio State, you're still getting a lot of acclaim, but maybe not as much as some of the other guys at that position.
Yeah, he's just a tough runner. He's a big guy. And at the same time, he can make you miss and break away. You know, I think he's similar to Jonathan Taylor, where he's just a sturdier running back that can do a lot of different things. And I think having the quarterback run game that they have really stretches the defense side to side in the zone read plays. So that, it's really going to come down to for the linebackers and the defensive line just making those tackles. And he's not an easy guy to tackle one-on-one because you're not going to have a chance to gang up on him because you have to protect against the zone read and the RPO stuff. So, you know, it's not extremely different to any other game, but one-on-one matchups are going to be critical, especially against such a talented team across the board.
I just remember that championship game, the game that Dwayne Haskins had, and McLaurin, guys
right.
like that. Now those guys have moved on, but the one thing I've noticed watching Ohio State, their receivers are so open. I mean, they get such great separation from the defenders that, I mean, it makes it hard. And part of that is Fields is able to buy some time and keep plays alive with his legs. And that's going to be a challenge for this defense, as good as they are.
I agree. Hopefully the grounds crew grows that grass as long as they can to slow those guys down a little bit. I think the one thing on the back end, you know, we have some, Northwestern has some guys that can really run,
yep.
Especially with Ruiz back. I think Newsom and Ruiz are two of the better, more underrated corners in the Big Ten, and they can really fly. So that doesn't scare me as much. Last year, maybe a little bit more than this year. But with those guys having more experience, you're not going to see guys running wide open, I don't think. It's just being able to make those 50-50 ball plays because the receivers are just so long outside of a couple slot guys that their wide receivers are so long and can make big plays by just going up and getting the ball.
All right, I watched South Carolina against Georgia Saturday like a lot of people did, and they go in to Georgia and they knock off the number three team, right? And granted, it took double overtime,
right.
And it took some weird plays towards the end of that game. But it does happen. They were like a three-touchdown underdog in that game, and they were on the road. Now, Northwestern's, I think, more than a three-touchdown underdog, but they're playing at home. For a team in Northwestern's situation, say an unranked team, and a team that's been struggling, quite frankly, to beat a top-five team, what has to happen? Is it just that part of it is Ohio State? Maybe they're due for a bad game. They play a bad game. They give you some help because you kind of need a little of that too.
Yeah, I think you're alluding to the Georgia-South Carolina game. I think Jake Fromm threw three interceptions. I think he's
right.
never thrown that many in his career, and I think you're going to need the same thing from Justin Fields, and hopefully he catches a little bit of the Jake Fromm sickness of turning the ball over. Yeah, you need turnovers, right? You need short fields. You're not going to be able to drive the ball on this defense, especially with Chase Young coming after you on third and longs, because you can't stop that guy. So I think you need turnovers, and you know, you need the offensive staff to really cut it loose. And I think they will, just be knowing that if they don't cut it loose, they're going to get blown off the field. So I think it's turnovers and then cutting it loose on offense. You need, that needs to happen. It's definitely a tall task, but I think the great equalizer is going to be turnovers.
Well, just a little bit of history. In 2004, when Northwestern beat Ohio State, and that was the last time they beat them, granted, it was 15 years ago. Where were you in 04? You were in...
I was in high school. I think, yeah. I was a sophomore in high school. Okay. Yeah,
well,
it was a long time ago.
So the previous game, the week before, Northwestern got blown out at Minnesota. I think it was like 43-17 or something like that. And Brett Bazinet, the quarterback, got hurt in that game. I hurt his shoulder.
Right.
So there was some doubt as to whether he was even going to play against Ohio State. Not only did he play, but he played really well. Noah Heron had a big game. Ohio State, I think, was, they were a top five team or close to it when they came into Evanston, and the Wildcats knocked them off. Now, granted, it took overtime. It took Mike Nugent missing a field goal in overtime to pull off the win, but they did. So it does happen. There is history there. Clearly, the one thing everyone's going to be watching for Friday, how will this offense do against, you know, the defense for Ohio State kind of gets overlooked. You mentioned Chase Young, and they have some great players on defense, but it's the offense that gets the headlines for them, and so Northwestern's going to have to find a way to get some points against that defense.
Yeah, again, it's a tall task, and I think they haven't played a ton of close games either, so it's not like typically great teams and great defenses specifically really ratchet it down when there's tight games and they need to get a stop. How many stops do they really need, have to get this season? Not a ton. So I think hopefully that works against them, and they can get Northwestern can get a couple big plays, but it'll be interesting to watch. Hopefully they can keep it close and give themselves a chance at the end. But this is a team that I don't think they've played in a long time.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens.
Right.
And it's the end of the first half of the regular season. It also begins a stretch of 5 out of 6 at home for Northwestern. It seems like they've been on the road for a while, and have some home games certainly is going to help them out a lot. Again, it's a Friday night, so we're... we got a little bit of a short week here. 7:30 kick in Evanston on Friday. And a reminder, you can hear the game on AM 560 and at WGNradio.com and on your WGN app. And we'll talk to you next week and we'll recap all this. All right?
It'll be fun.
Okay. For Dan Persa, our producer, Curtis Koch, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for joining us for Collegiately Speaking. We'll talk to you next week at WGNradio.com.